So I'm going to actually turn to our second reading and continue that conversation. In our second reading today, Paul describes the church community as the human body. And when I worked at summer camp at Luther Springs, we had a skit called the Pinky Toe. And in this skit, everyone pretends to be a part of the body. Someone would usually be the brain or the head. Someone would be the heart. Usually someone would pick the stomach so they could make burp sounds. Every other weird part in between, but at the end of the line was always the pinky toe. And what happened in the skit is you would go down the line. So you'd start with the head. And the head would say, I'm so great because I hold the brain, the eyes, the ear. Without me, you wouldn't be able to see, taste, smell, or hear. And then the heart would go, I'm so great because I pump all the blood around the body. Without me, you wouldn't have the blood and oxygen that you need. Then usually the stomach would go, and the stomach would say, well, I'm so great because I get to eat everything. And you'd go down the line until you got to the pinky toe. And the pinky toe, they would ask, well, pinky toe, what do you do? And the pinky toe would say, I don't know what I do. So the body would be, this was in the 90s when Survivor was big, so you would vote the toe off the body. So it would get kicked out, and the body would try to take off, and the body would stumble. And the reason was, is that even though you didn't necessarily know it, the pinky toe, even though it's very small, many of us use it for balance. That you kind of roll on your pinky toe to make sure you keep walking. Now, I say this as I looked up an article that also said that we think the pinky toe will evolve out of us. So I don't know what that means. But nonetheless, I think the skit is making the same point that Paul is. God has created this wonderful gift of a community. And each person has unique gifts. They bring ideas, thoughts, and they help this community in its growth and help it thrive. And if we choose to remove those who are different than us, we're damaging our community. And we're not quite the same if we lose them. Like the human body, church communities need diversity. Neither bodies nor churches function well if everyone has the exact same skills. But that also means that we will have the exact same weaknesses. It's as Paul says, if your body was all eyes, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? Diversity is necessary for our life together. But it's a diversity that we have in unity. A body that is against itself does not work. Only a body that works with itself will thrive. A couple years ago, we have a friend in Columbia, South Carolina, buy a new dog. A new puppy named Chief. And Chief was different because unlike all the other dogs they had, Chief was brought home because our friend lived on a farm and she needed something to protect her sheep. So they had purchased Chief, this great Pyrenees, this big white Pyrenees, because that dog had been bred for one purpose. It was bred to protect those sheep. But when they got this dog, there was conditions. While he had the physical abilities, there's one thing that he didn't necessarily have in the beginning. And it was his ability to care for the sheep. He was being brought home to a place that he had no connections. But it was so important that he care for the sheep, that the sheep be his community, so that when a predator approached, he'd want to protect them. And in response, drive that predator away. So to ensure that this bond happened, our friend Sarah was told this by her husband. You can only play with him this day. After today, the first day they have him, you can never play with him again. And it's kind of shocking to hear that because you think, cute dog, I'm going to play with cute dog, you know, let me put it. But the dog was brought to that community for purpose. And if the dog bonded with her more than the sheep, he may not protect the sheep. It's not his community then. She would be his community. So to make sure that it was his community, he was kind of dropped in. Because the purpose of him is when something like a coyote shows up, he gets loud and he chases it off. But he needs that love to make him connected. And for us, like Chief, love is the core of our community. No matter how great we are as individuals, it is love, a love that God has for us, a love we have for God, and a love that we have for each other that binds us together, makes us one body. A love that brought us together, a love that keeps us together. As a church, we're a diverse community. We see that in forms of people just in this congregation who come from different places, who root for different teams, who come from cold places and warm places, some even out of this country, in Canada. When we talk about the broader church, we talk about people who speak different languages. People in Africa, people in South America, people that speak Spanish and German and Norwegian and Russian, and all the languages in between. Things we could focus on, those things that divide us and make us different. But when we talk about being one body of Christ, there's only one thing that unites us. And it's God's love for us. But the love of Christ is the one that binds us together. And being brought together, we gain this fellowship. As a community, we rejoice together. We celebrate when we see some grow bigger and stronger, like Joe. We rejoice when we hear the announcement of our new grandchild. We rejoice when someone gets better from illness. We rejoice when something exciting, somebody gets a new job. Those things that bring us joy, we rejoice as a community. But that also means we weep together. We weep when we find out that somebody has gotten ill, when somebody has fallen, when they've experienced death. We weep when we hear about shootings like we heard in Sebring. We weep when we hear about people not getting paid. We rejoice when we hear they're going to get paid. Often I say this, funerals are a really wonderful sign for this community. For two things. First, in a funeral, we announce that we have not lost hope. That in the midst of the things that are dark, we still believe in the resurrection. The second thing is, and I think this happens, and this is really neat from the congregation's perspective, when somebody comes in and somebody has died, the family is here, usually the family is not a member of our congregation. They come in and they say, you know, they greet everybody and they know all the people they know, and then they have to ask me who that person is who came to the funeral. And usually then I tell them who it is, and then I usually say, it's a reminder that your loved one was important to us too. And that on this day, when you feel lonely and don't know what to do because your loved one is gone, I want you to know that this community is with you. That even though we may not have as strong of a connection as you did, especially if it's a mother, daughter, or something like that, we're here for you. It's the same reason why when we have somebody come up and say, I need a funeral, we open the church doors. Because as a community, we say, we understand that you are in pain, and we want to be there for you. Because that's part of being a community together. It's because we love, because God first loved us. And that love does something beautiful. It doesn't just change us internally. It's actually a form of witness for our church. People see what we're doing. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, his real critique is, the Corinthians are acting just like the rest of the world. They're excluding the poor individuals, holding them in less regard And if you go a chapter earlier, they're eating communion without them. They're not acting like people who have been transformed by God. What Paul's really calling them to do is to believe in something different. Believe that we have been united by Christ's redemption for all of humanity. Whether we are the most powerful person in this room, whether we are the pastor or the two-year-old, whether we are the wealthiest or the poorest, that cross is the same symbol for all of us. It's a symbol that God loves us. That God created humanity out of nothing. That God knew us before we were even born. Made us with purpose and love. And that same love says, you belong to me. A love that will go to any lengths, even death itself, to ensure that we have life. A love that connects us all. Amen.